This is slightly paraphrased, but what he says is that when we try to understand with our limited means all the secrets of nature, we find that behind all the discernible laws, scientific laws and connections, that there still remains something subtle, intangible, and inexplicable. He said veneration for this force, in other words, his sense of reverence for this force beyond anything we can comprehend, he said, that is my religion. To that extent, I am, in fact, religious. Well, many of us can relate to Einstein's God as this incomprehensible mystery behind all of life, this cosmic creative energy that is responsible for everything here, and certainly for the great beauties and wonders in our world. As we begin today in celebration of Earth Day, and this is Earth Day weekend, I brought along some photos to just help us remember how exquisitely beautiful our world is, and to just take a few moments to connect with those. Those are orchids. Incredible. The wonderful writer Annie Dillard once wrote, "My God, what a world. There is no accounting for it for a single second." And when we look at photos like that, often we feel very much that way. How did this all come to be? So this idea of what we think of as Einstein's God and the unfathomable mystery of all of life really resonates with many, if not most of us, if not all of us, and particularly with those who say they are spiritual but not religious. And as we know, it is possible, and it very frequently happens, that when we're out in nature, communing with nature, that it is a beautiful and sometimes even profound experience of the presence of God. And I bet all those on our green team here can speak to that as a way of communing with spirit. It is beautiful and profound, but there are two other ways in which we can relate to God that are, or can be, equally beautiful and awe-inspiring. As we take these other ways into our spiritual practice, we find that the empty places in us are filled. We find that we step into a new sense of wholeness, and that indeed we are understanding and relating to God as Jesus did. In his book, Integral Christianity, Paul Smith says that that is the whole point of the Christian path, to have the same relationship with and understanding of God that Jesus did, and to express it in the world as he did, according to our own gifts. So how did Jesus understand and relate to God? Well, Paul Smith says in three ways. First of all, he spoke to the infinite God. Spoke about the infinite God. He spoke to the personal God. And he spoke as the inner God. These were the ways in which he made his divine connection, and we can do the same. So first is the infinite God, and that's what we've been honoring through these slides and kind of turning our minds to the inexplicable. We may have other names for it, perhaps infinite intelligence, divine mind. We might think of it as the ground of all being, the field of all possibilities, the creator of all, source, even the soul of the universe. By whatever name we use, it is formless, indescribable, and really beyond our comprehension. The great mystery. And you know what? That is okay. Mystery is not only okay, mystery can be quite wonderful. Mystery can create a sense of awe and even humility in us. And I know from personal experience that it can be very joyful to just let go of trying to explain it all and turn yourself over to the mystery and just wonder at it. And just realize that there are just some things we cannot get our heads around. So here's an example of that. In the book, Paul Smith talks about that we now know there are 70 sextillion stars in the known universe. That's what that looks like. 70 followed by 21 zeros. 70,000, million, million, million. That's a lot. And in fact, he says that is more than all of the grains of sand in all the deserts and beaches on planet Earth. And they know this because they counted them. No, I'm like, how do they know this stuff, you know? And not only that, but there are more black holes than stars. And I don't know if you saw in the paper this last week that Stephen Hawking was postulating that black holes are actually the portal to another whole universe. This is like just incredible to try to comprehend. Well, there's another way in which we can experience the infinite God. And that is, as we've seen through the beauty of nature all around us. And certainly Jesus celebrated as he observed the beauty and character of creation. He celebrated it, the birds in the air, the lilies of the field, the fish in the ocean, all of these things, sort of the handiwork, the signs of this infinite God manifesting. But that wasn't the only way Jesus related to God. He also related to the personal God. And we know this quite well. That he had a personal relationship with God. He called this God Abba. Abba meaning dearest daddy and papa. And so this was the concept of God. This was his God that he spoke to, that he leaned on, that he confided in. When we think about that relationship, we know that this intimate God is very warm and very personal. It is very personal, but personal does not necessarily mean a person. And that is where we sometimes misconstrue. So even though Jesus spoke to God as Father, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was envisioning an old man in the sky who was his biological father. It was really more about the relationship. And so traditional theology, Christianity, for a very long time has actually taken this literally, and we know this, that for a long, long time we thought of God as really a super being up in the sky. Old man, white beard. Don't know why he has a white beard, but he always has a white beard. And that Jesus is literally his one and only son. When we hear this, one of the unfortunate consequences is that it makes us seem less than. It makes us seem very small. Well, people have rejected, in this day and age, people often reject this idea of the human or the spiritual being God up there and Jesus is the only son. But in the process, what we have done is we throw out the whole idea of the personal God. I think this is really important. Even in unity, where we typically can relate to the infinite God, we relate to the inner God, but the personal God, where we actually talk to and commune with God, sometimes gets lost. And I think that's very unfortunate, because it means that we're losing out on the opportunity to have an up-close and personal relationship with God. Now, I do believe, and I've experienced, that something in us opens up as we begin to relate in a very close and personal way with an outer, or perhaps even just in our own minds, representation of the divine. So we can find the intimate God anytime we consciously connect with someone or something that embodies the divine. And I know many of you have a sense of connecting with the intimate God by speaking to and being very close to Jesus. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Others may find that it's another spiritual teacher. It might be Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, Confucius, a guru, whoever it is. But there's a sense of a real heart connection and a reverence for the divine showing through that individual. And we can find it even more easily than that. Every Sunday when we do our divinity salute, do we not behold in one another the holy other? We see the divine in each other. Most certainly in our own lives, with the people we love the most, the pets we love the most, we have an experience of holding the divine in them. And so Paul Smith offers this way of kind of reconsidering how we think about, or even how we relate to, the people closest to us as we begin to see the divine in them. He says we can see the third person infinite God come alive in the second person intimate God in this kind of closeness. He says, God of the cosmos, who rushes to hug and kiss us. Ultimate reality that stands before us while we lovingly look into one another's eyes. Evolutionary impulse that sits across the table, breaking bread and drinking wine with us. Divine intelligence that appears on the sofa next to us and starts a conversation. Sacred love that puts its hand on our shoulder and reassures us in the middle of the darkest night. Creator of heaven and earth, who pauses to listen intently and hear our heart. Whenever we're with our loved ones, we have that opportunity to appreciate and see in them the presence of the divine and the sacredness moving through them and blessing us. Well, there's a third way of relating to God, and this is in some ways the most challenging, although we speak about it kind of often in unity, but this is the interface of God. This is really knowing and claiming not just that God is in us, but God is as us. And in fact, we are made of God stuff. That the same stuff that created Jesus and all the spiritual masters and everything here is in us. And one way we often express it is that we are like waves in the ocean of God. So we aren't the totality of the ocean, we're a wave. But we're made of the same stuff. Well, in the traditional church, this is seen often as heresy or even blasphemy. This idea that we too are divine. But you know, that is exactly what Jesus taught. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. What I've done, you can do too, and greater things still." He knew that we had it within us to evolve into his same spiritual level and even beyond. And this was what his ministry was about, pointing us to that truth. At one point in the book of John, the Gospel of John, he's quoted as saying, he reminded his Jewish listeners, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'?" He was quoting Psalm 82, verse 6, which reads, "I say, you are gods, children of the Most High, all of you." You know, the traditional church says that only Jesus was divine, and that, as I mentioned, has had the unfortunate effect of keeping us very small and often fearful, and a sense of unworthiness. That is what traditional doctrine has brought us, but that is not what Jesus was about. In fact, just the opposite. So think about this for a moment. Wouldn't he intentionally go to the very individual who is feeling the smallest and the most unworthy and the most oppressed, the most victimized, to convey the message to them, you are powerful beyond measure. You can create your own reality. You can heal. You can stand tall and claim your birthright as the kingdom of God. You have all of this power within you. Claim it and unleash it. This is what he was about. For us to know on a very deep level that what he did, we could do too, that we unleash the divine from within us. And Paul Smith, he's very bold, actually, in his writing. I love this guy. He says, the greatest cognitive block to our spiritual growth is the belief that Jesus is the totally unique and only Son of God. He goes on to say, we are divine in exactly the same way that Jesus was divine. The difference is that Jesus knew and experienced this. We do not. And he goes on to say, the difference between us and Jesus is a matter of degree, not kind. Our divinity is buried under a bucketful of ego. He goes on to share the story of a sage who was counseling someone who came to him for guidance, and the sage said to him, you have lived a remarkable life, all these amazing achievements. And then he said, do you think there's any chance of you getting over yourself? Truly, only when we get over ourselves do we find ourselves. This is about not the enhancement of the ego when we say we are gods, but the release of it, going deeper behind it to who we truly are. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I know we say that often, but if you truly internalize that, it is life-changing. It is a huge realization. It changes everything in terms of how you see your life, the things that happen, how you see everything. Suddenly, we're sort of the backdrop. And life is progressing like a play or a movie in front of us. Not that we don't care, not that we aren't engaged, but maybe we just don't take it so seriously. You know, I've often wondered why Tibetan Buddhist monks, have you ever noticed this about them? They laugh a lot. I mean, they even giggle. They just giggle, and you're like, what's so funny? You know, well, I believe that the reason they take things so lightly is because that's not really real, what's happening out here. They're so anchored in the eternal. They're so centered in that presence that everything else is just coming and going, and quite often it's kind of funny. We can grow into that perspective as well and discover the peace that is within us. And just let the outer things arise and pass. Oops, that's the wrong one. Paul Smith writes, we are all in our deepest essence divine spiritual beings. It's rather radical, but listen up. Jesus was fully human and fully divine, and we are fully human and fully divine. Jesus was like us in every respect. Way shower for what is possible when we fully express the presence of God. There's a divine you. Each and every one of you has a divine you within you that is seeking to come out into greater expression through the human you. It's looking for that opportunity. It is the truth of who you are, wanting to express more fully in this life. So last week I had a meditation experience that kind of brought this home for me. And I was relating to the personal God, having a little conversation there. And I suddenly received the message, I can do more to help you if you will let me in. I can do more to help you if you will let me in. And we might say even, let me come forth. It was a great realization for me of the importance of staying open and letting Spirit do what Spirit does, getting out of my Martha consciousness into my Mary consciousness we talked about last week, and even that state of divine awareness. When we let God be God in us, we find that not only are the birds and the trees and the waterfalls and the mountains God on earth, not only are Jesus and Buddha and all the spiritual masters God on earth, but we are God on earth. This idea of honoring God in 3D, as we say, the three faces of God, the infinite, intimate, and inner, it may seem a little awkward as we try to really connect with that. But I'd like you to think for a moment about how you relate to somebody who is most dear to you. Are there not times when you stand back in awe, amazed at what they do? How do you do that? You know, even a parent with a child sometimes, where'd that come from? You are in awe of something you can't quite explain. And then there are times when those you love are like your buddy, your confidant. We're just going through this journey of life together. And then there are those exquisite times when we feel a deep oneness with those we love, and all the outer boundaries fall away. You know what it's like to love this way. And you know that this is the many ways in which you can also love God. So we find that we find God in the infinite, the mystery out there. We find God right here beside us, and we find God deeply within. And Paul Smith offers a beautiful prayer, a three-part prayer, to help us remember these three different faces of God, as he calls them. So I'm going to demonstrate it for you, and then I'm going to ask you to stand and join me in it. So it goes like this. Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being, intimate God, you are always with me. Inner God, I am the light of the world. Will you stand and join me in this? Stand as you are able. Together. Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being, intimate God, you are always with me. Inner God, I am the light of the world. Let's do it one more time, and this time use the pronoun we. Together. Infinite God, in whom we live and move and have our being, intimate God, you are always with us. Inner God, we are the light of the world. And so it is, and so we let it be. Let's move now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes, get comfortable in your seat. Take this opportunity to breathe in deeply and then release. One more time, a deep breath in and then let go. Letting go of any concerns or worries in your life, let them go, let them go, let them go. Settle a little more deeply into the presence of God, here with us, in us, as us. I invite you to turn your attention to your heart space and allow it to expand with the deep knowing that we are one with all the universe. We are one with the stars and the sun and the moon, and all of the magnificent creatures, plants, all of life on planet Earth. allow yourself to breathe into this. Feeling a sense of awe for the mystery behind it all, the perfection of each part of it. I invite you to go to your heart space, and this time call to mind someone or something in your life that represents the holy other. This gift to you in your life of someone who so beautifully shines their light and expresses the divine. Allow yourself to imagine a conversation with them, companionship with them, learning from them, being with them. I invite you to turn once again to the center of your being, to your heart space. And in this moment, connect with the beautiful, amazing God in you and as you. This timeless spirit here in this earthly form for just a while, but then moving on in the most natural and perfect way. I invite you to sink into your own personal divinity and commune with the God of you in the silence. As we speak about the infinite God, feel that awe and wonder. As we speak to the personal, intimate God, feeling our connection. As we celebrate and express our inner God, we know that all is in divine order. All in our life is unfolding exactly as it should. We give thanks for the way being made clear. We give thanks for the one who showed us the way. And for all these gifts, we are so deeply grateful. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.